Well, good to see you guys this morning. Happy Easter. You know, I'm a little confused. Brother Chris mentioned all those places where the Easter egg hunting is going to be, and I didn't hear anything, any place for Grace Walk. Did you? They say that sometimes in your senior years, you've heard this, you revert back to your childhood. Have you heard that? Well, if we revert back to our childhood, we need a place to hunt Easter eggs. We want to talk to the preacher about that, aren't we? Well, I'm glad that you're here. Happy Easter. We're looking forward to a good day. Of course, we always look forward to Sundays. We're glad that you're with us, each and every one of you. And this is a special day in Christianity. Easter is a very, very important commemoration where we remember our resurrected Lord. And because of what he did, because he rose from the grave victoriously over death, so much of what Christ promised when he was alive and so much of what was typified and signified in the Old Testament actually was sealed to be made sure it would happen by the resurrection. And so we're going to look at that just a little bit. So I'm glad that you're here, and we're going to be taking our text this morning from John chapter 20. So if you have your Bible this morning, go over to John chapter 20. It's on page 975 in my Bible. Now, we're going to hear that in about 2 weeks. Brother Strunk says that all the time, you know. So we're going to hear that when he gets here. So I believe he's here from May the 1st through the 3rd for revival. So looking forward to that. John chapter 20, not going to read much to start off with, verses 1 and 2. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Now, if you remember, at this point in the day, it's very early, and Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and one of the Gospels tells us Joanna went, and they went to check the tomb out. And when they got there, the stone was rolled away. And so they go back to the disciples, and they tell them what's happened, and that the body of Jesus is not in there. And that prompts Peter and another individual to run to the tomb at the beginning. Now, we know who that other individual is, and that was John. We know that because John wrote this, and instead of what's weird about this is what's different about this is instead of John saying there in verse number 2, then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and me, or myself, he didn't say that. And to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read a few verses there. First Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 3. And the Apostle Paul writes in verse number 3, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also. We're going to stop right there. I'll ask you to bow your head with me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this chance to be in Sunday school these few minutes, and we thank you that we have the opportunity to build our faith this morning, and we have an opportunity to learn of you. We know the scripture says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and we know that means so much more than the time we're saved. That's throughout our Christian life. Your word is what builds our faith. And so, God, we ask that you would help us to understand. Help us to be like the two men who were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus came upon them, and they didn't know who he was, but they talked with him. And the Bible says that their eyes were opened, and they were able to understand after they knew him. God, help us to be that way this morning, both in Sunday school and in the message here in just a few minutes after the cantata. God, we pray that we would also be like the two men on the road to Emmaus whose heart burned with them after they read the scriptures. And then, God, after you appeared to the disciples, both the same day that you came out of that tomb and then 8 days later, and you said unto them, peace be unto you, the Bible says that you gave them understanding. In their time of fear and fright and doubt, you gave them understanding. God, we would want that understanding this morning. We want to be like John, the man in our first text, who came to the tomb. He ran faster than Peter, but Peter went on in, and John stood at the doorway, and the Bible says that when he finally went on in, he believed. So God, help us to understand. Help us to believe. Help us to build our faith because of what we believe. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I typically do not do an Easter lesson. I've done very few. Because of the cantata that the choir always gives, and because Brother Chris has an Easter message, I've just normally stayed with wherever we were. And of course, we're in John, and we're still this morning even in John. But I wanted to give an Easter message, or an Easter lesson, if you will, and started down that road. And I came upon these things, these passages of Scripture, just blessed my heart the past 2 weeks. What I did was I took what was found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I put them all together, and I read them every day, and I read each gospel writer's account of that day, that resurrection day. And didn't know exactly where that was going yet. And so one thing that I realized was that there was no shortage of people who saw our Lord after he arose from the grave. Paul gives us a short list there in 1 Corinthians 15. We read those verses there. But if you combine them all together, you'll see that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. He appeared to Mary, the mother of James, to Joanna, to Salome, to other women, to Peter and John, to the 10 disciples on the day he rose from the grave. 8 days later, to 11 of the disciples. He appeared before the people when he ascended to heaven. He appeared to the two on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to those who were in Galilee. He appeared, Paul says, to 500 people at one time. This was an unquestionable fact that he rose from the grave. He appeared to James and the apostles, and then he appeared to Paul. Paul, on the road to Damascus when he was converted, saw the Lord. And based off of his conversion and his conviction, he went and preached in Acts chapter 2, and 3,000 people were saved that day when he preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So as I was figuring out what I was going to actually do this morning, Monday came of this week, and I had a long 300-mile day in the truck, and I started listening to an app on my phone called Insight. A lot of good teaching on it. And this particular day, the lesson was taken from Colossians chapter 4. And at that point, Paul was in a Roman prison. He was chained to a Roman guard, and he was giving the ending of four chapters, as we call them, but it was one big letter as he wrote it. He was giving a letter that was going to be sent to the church at Colossae. Colossians is why we call it, or why it's called that. And specifically in that last chapter, Paul lists the names of 10 people. 10 good friends. And we're not going to go there, but this is where we're going this morning. 10 people that each had in some capacity become a good friend to the Apostle Paul. Some had known him for a long time and may have even lived in close proximity to where Paul lived. Some were more recent friends that he had met, but had worked with him in ministering to the churches. And then there were those two men who carried his letters, literally carried his letters to the churches, all the different places where they went. And as he ended that chapter 4 of Colossians, he did what he did in a few other passages of Scripture. You see, Paul usually had somebody transcribe these letters for him. And then he would sign it at the end. Several epistles have that. At the very end of the letter, I, Paul, have written this salutation with my own hand. And sometimes he would have comments in his own handwriting. And so chapter 4 is about Paul's friends. And I think he realized the great value in having good friends. So when I came across John chapter 20 and I saw verse number 2, John is writing this and says that Mary Magdalene runs and comes to Simon Peter, and he doesn't say me. She didn't come to Simon Peter and myself. He said she came running to Simon Peter and that other disciple whom Jesus loved. And Brother Stacy, chills went through my... I had just heard all this lesson on friendship. And I saw whom Jesus loved, and chills went up my spine. And what I can take from that, and what we can take from that, is to the Apostle John, our Lord was a very, very close friend. The Bible has a lot to say about friends, about friendship. I wish I had time to read all these verses. I don't, but I'm going to read a few. Listen to this. A friend loveth at all times. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Some of you have attested to that. You have friends that are closer than your own family. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. And the Bible has a lot to say about the huge hurt in people's heart when their friends betray them. Because friends are so very special. And then we come to those two passages of Scripture which we've talked about because we went through the book of Genesis. But to where a man's heart became so in tune with God that God considered him a friend. Abraham. James tells us, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And then there's Moses. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friends. And so we come to John chapter 20, verse 2, and we see this little parenthesis, if you will. Instead of Mary Magdalene came to me and Simon Peter, or Simon Peter and myself, or came to Simon Peter and this other disciple whom Jesus loved. I heard Dr. Olam married my wife and me 33 years ago, and I was also in some of the classes he taught in college, and pastored the church that I went to and my dad and mom went to for a long time. But here's what he said. I probably heard him a dozen times say this. A man can be considered lucky if during his entire lifetime he has 5 good friends. Trusted, dependable, loving and faithful friends. Not just good friends. And I remember thinking back then, Albert, you know, I was, 23, 24 years old. And I thought, oh, that can't be. I've got so many good friends, Linda. You know, I've got people here in church. And then push forward 35 years, and what I'm finding out, Royce, is what Dr. Olam said is true. Now, we have a lot of good acquaintances and a lot of good friendships, but to have that close, dependable, loving, trusting, dependable friend, it's hard to come by. I think to the Apostle John, Jesus was such a friend. For John to say this out of the way and say, this other disciple whom Jesus loved, Jesus must have been someone that spoke to his heart in a very deep way. A good friend is somebody who knows you, really, really knows you. A good friend overlooks your faults to a point, but holds you accountable to do the right thing. A good friend knows when you're hurting and they will cry with you. A good friend will laugh with you. And so as John says this right here, my mind's racing and I'm just thinking, okay, so was Jesus that way to John? And then I started thinking about my friends. And I want you just for a minute, let your mind wander to your friends. We've got some really good friends. I consider my wife, you know, we've been married 33 years, and Georgina and Jerry, last Sunday, was it, hit their 58th anniversary. And some of you have hit 60 and 70. We've seen quite a few come through and reached many years in marriage. And when you're married to somebody, you become a kind of a friend. Well, you better be, anyway. There's a friendship there that I have with my spouse. I am friends with my dad. And next Sunday will be the 25th anniversary of my mom's death. And when she passed away, we were just starting to become good friends. And I'm seeing that with my kids now. As time goes on, as they're maturing, our relationship with our four kids is becoming less of a father-child and more like a friend. Now, I may want to kill them sometimes, but they're still my friend, you know. But I had a friend in college, and you know him. It's Frank. Frank Brim. Been in Brazil now, I guess, 30 years, 32 years or something like that. And Frank was my good friend. We roomed together in the men's dorm in college. And then after college ended, we shared an apartment together for a year, and I was close as a brother to him. I could depend on him, but not in a way. You know, here's the thing. We're all human, and we all do crazy things, and especially if you're young. Amen? Young people seem to have this down better than older people. So, you know, you can do things at times, and Frank and I had a relationship, a friendship that we wouldn't be critical per se, but we would let the other know that, hey, that's not where you need to be. And it was done in a loving way. We didn't knock each other out and fist fight and all this kind of stuff, you know. And then after, that's a 5-year friendship there, and then I met my soon-to-be wife, who insisted that we get married. And so Frank went off to Brazil, and Dwayne went out to other places, and then West Texas. But that's a good friendship. And so John, this morning, in this text, in John chapter 20, verse 2, he made a point to say whom Jesus loved. It'd be like me saying, Royce, I'm somebody who Jesus loves. I'm somebody that Jesus considers to be a friend. That's what John said. And I thought, well, isn't that just something else, you know? And then I started thinking about all the values of a great friendship. and all the things that our Lord did for us. We've been talking in the Gospel of John, all the things that the God of eternity did and he put into motion by sending his Son to be our Savior, to be the Son of God, to be the Messiah, to get to know me and you and give us a way to be with his Father. We've been talking about all that. And then I thought, you know what? He put all that into place in John 1:1, but he sealed it with his resurrection. He didn't stay in that tomb. Because of what happened on the resurrection, all the things that he promised me and you are going to be fulfilled. All the things that we read in the Word of God are possible because of the resurrection. They were completed that day, and we'll see that in the future. The resurrection made it possible for us in our sin to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to pay for my sin and your sin. Now, if he had just done that, and if he had died upon the cross and never risen again like he said, it would be incomplete. But he rose from the grave and he made it all possible. The Bible says he was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He took our sin and he took it upon himself. And he was put on that cross, but he didn't stay there. And he was put into that tomb, and he didn't stay there either. And because of all of that, we have the future and the promise that we have today. Hey, listen to this. Because of that, all the craziness in our society shouldn't bother us. I mean, it's going to get worse and worse. The Bible says that. It's going to get crazier and crazier. But let me put your mind at ease. We've read the back of the book. We know how this thing ends. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, that's Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Saw an ad this, or not an ad, a news article online this week. And there was a group that's become very loud in our society, very opinionated group. They found that in their archives, in their notes, in their memos, they were seeking to minimize Christianity. And I saw that, and I read it, and I just read this passage of Scripture here, and you know what I said? I said, knock yourself out. Because as strong as wicked and as strong as evil is, wicked and evil will never stand up to a resurrected Son of God. And not only that, but because of the resurrection, you and I have the power to do what we need to do as a child of God. Our Lord told those people at the ascension when he went up into heaven, he told them, he says, you're going to receive power from on high. And that was his Holy Spirit. And today we have his Holy Spirit. Now we don't always allow ourselves to be controlled by God's Spirit, but when we do allow his Holy Spirit to help us make our choices, to say the right thing, to think the right things, then the child of God has an opportunity to build his or her faith. You know, many years ago when we went to camp, somebody, one of the youth leaders, passed out those bracelets that had four letters, WWJD, what would Jesus do? And so I looked into how that phrase started, and I found out it started with a book. Somebody wrote, a Christian man wrote a book, and his thing was this right here. If Jesus were alive, if Jesus were with us right now, what decision would we make with what we have to do? If he were right here, what decision would he make? And it wasn't too long as I was thinking about that that I thought, wait a minute. He is right here. His Holy Spirit is right here. His Holy Spirit desires to lead me and to lead you. His Holy Spirit desires for us to be controlled by him. And how do you do that? Well, you do that in his word, and you do that on your knees. So really, what would Jesus do would be more correctly, what is Jesus doing so I can be a part of it? What is God's Holy Spirit doing among this body of believers at Bible Baptist Church in Slayton, Texas, and how can I be a part of what he's doing? Isn't that neat? And all that was made possible because the Son of God came out of that tomb on this day, the resurrection. So not only many, many years ago did all them people see it, all those witnesses, they were eyewitnesses to a risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But then God in his wisdom sent his Holy Spirit down to 2022. And all he wants us to do is to allow his Spirit to help us make good choices. And how do we do that? We do that on our knees, and we do that in his word. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the privilege of having